Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the ATIA podcast. I'm your host, Arturo Gonzalez, here, joined always by
Eric Gonzalez.
And we're so excited to bring you this episode. Oh, man, it's been a really good day. We actually just went and had a double feature, and my beloved Lakers just had a double overtime win. So it's been a really great day for me. I will be sipping a little bit of water as we go along, just trying to get rehydrated after all the excitement. But yeah, if you haven't been living under a rock and you're a movie fan, a big day just occurred. What was it, Tuesday?
Yeah, Tuesday. We were going to film it earlier, but we got pretty busy during the week. And then we saw that two movies that got nominated were playing at our local theater. So we decided to wait till then.
We'll talk about it as we get to it. But yeah, we are talking about the Oscar nominations.
So we're a couple days behind, but I'm better late than ever, especially before the ceremony.
Yeah, exactly.
And people are still like talking about them.
So. Yeah, we got it within the week. So I think we're still inbound from that one. So
Oscar nominations. The second biggest day for movie fans. What's the biggest day then? The ceremony.
All right, so we're gonna go through the different categories, the different nominees, and we're gonna give you our thoughts, what we think they got snubbed, what we think they got it right, where we're just indifferent, so on and so forth. So without further ado, let's jump right into it.
Okay, so the first category, the one that, let's be honest, this is why we tune into this ceremony. Obviously, the other categories matter too, but if we were to choose one, this is the one that people tune into the most. Or maybe there's people that skip the rest of the ceremony and just come in when this category comes in. It's Best Picture.
Best Picture.
All right, so
we got some good ones here.
There's a pretty heavy stack for a lot of good movies this year, but obviously they all can't be. Obviously even the ones that are nominated aren't going to be winners, but I'm sure this is going to be a tough list to make for the Academy. So enough stalling, let's get into the actual list itself. First nominee, should we go through list all the nominees or list one?
Let's go movie by movie and get started.
First one, American Fiction. So this one we saw a couple hours ago, so we're still processing it, but a lot of people have been saying that obviously, since it's been nominated, a lot of people really like it. But from what I've been reading, like on Letterboxd and Twitter, people are saying, "Oh yeah, it's really it's good." But I like out of all these, it's probably on the bottom tier. But I'm here to say that we saw this movie and I thought it was excellent.
I love this movie. I you told me earlier than people love because it's a two-part story.
And yeah.
Both involving the Jeffrey Wright character.
Yeah.
And to me, both aspects of the story tie into one another.
Yeah.
And I think it was done pretty well. And we got some great performances from Jeffrey Wright and from Sterling K. Brown, who's also nominated for supporting actor.
Yeah, we'll get to them in a minute.
I thought overall it was really well done, and I really enjoyed the heck out of this movie. And to me, it's definitely not at the bottom. There's another movie that's definitely coming up.
Okay. So we're still processing it, but I mean, I really liked it a lot, and when we left the theater, I was still, like, thinking about it. It's not like, well, actually, it is kind of deep a little bit. There are some questions that this movie poses, even though it kind of has a comedic tone. It is really funny. The performances are great all around. It's nice that, that Jeffrey Wright is getting some recognition, because he's definitely one of my favorite actors of this generation.
Definitely.
And I was trying to, after when I was watching the movie, I was trying to figure out why are people like kind of on the side about it. And there's two sides of the story. I feel like they both coherently mix together really well, but some people are thinking, oh, one side of the story it's brilliant, but the other side is kind of just whatever. But I mean, I thought both sides were equally as good, and the reason why is that I'm really invested in Jeffrey Wright's character, and that's the reason why the movie works, because it's like through his viewpoint and going through the dilemmas that he's going through in his life right now. And if I wasn't interested in this character, then the movie would fall
apart.
Absolutely,
because he's in it. Like, I think he's in every shot.
Yeah, I think he's in every scene. Yeah. So that's a really, like, when you have a movie revolve around a character, you have to make that character compelling, or else the movie doesn't work.
Exactly.
But this character was really interesting. He was really you were really invested into his struggle and his dilemma, and definitely the acting plays a huge part of that. We'll get more to the acting when we get to the actors category, but overall, yeah, I thought this movie
really liked this movie.
Yeah, really like this movie a lot. Also, another thing is that I said in the top 10 that I was really looking forward to it, but it wasn't playing in our area, so I had to list it as an honorable mention. And I'll just tell you, if we made that video, then it would definitely be in the top 10. It would definitely make my top 10.
I agree.
All right, next one. Mm-hmm. Anatomy of a Fall. We didn't see this one. I know in the last one we said, oh, we'll see it before because it's already rental, but I mean, we haven't really gotten the time. Not because, well, I mean, yeah, we are busy, but also because we're kind of lazy as well. But we'll definitely watch this before the ceremony. And yeah, when we talk about the winners, we'll talk about it then. Talk about our thoughts then. Yes. People have been saying this is really good, but again, we can't say anything about it because we haven't seen it.
So
yeah. I guess we shouldn't really complain saying, oh, how come they nominated this and not like Spider-Verse, because we haven't seen it yet. Mm-hmm. So yeah, next one is a movie maybe a couple people have seen, maybe like I don't know if like a whole lot, but I think I know one or two people, and that's Barbie. So yeah, this was this and another movie that also got nominated were by far the most popular movies released this year.
Yeah, just look at the and, box office yeah. receipts.
And if you saw in our podcast and our previous episode, I liked this movie when I first saw it, but I didn't love it. But I really liked it the second time around because I accepted the movie for what it was and like not what my like expectations had in mind because of what I think it had set out to done. But like, yeah, it's a goofy film, but it still has a lot of heart and it still has a lot to say. And like, it, even though it's like, again, super goofy, there's still a lot to say about it. And like, even if it's like there could be some discussion to be had on like how the portrayal of its themes, but the fact that a Barbie movie can have people have those kinds of discussions is
pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. So yeah, I still this was a really well-made film. I still tip my hat to Greta Gerwig and everyone else involved. I know that's kind of lazy not listing out names, but I mean, come on, a lot of people.
There's a lot of people involved.
So yeah, and obviously the first person's gonna mention is Greta Gerwig, so I still in case there's like some small chance Greta Gerwig is watching this, shout out to Greta Gerwig for
looking forward to your Chronicles of
Narnia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but thank you for, instead of making a safe summer blockbuster, for actually taking risks and taking a chance. And yeah, I think it paid off.
Yeah, I think I agree with everything you just said. The first time I liked it, like you said, the second time around I felt that I connected with some things a little better, and obviously that made the viewing experience a lot better. So
exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's next?
Next up is another one we're fond of, The Holdovers.
Oh, my goodness.
Again, this one we talked about in our podcast. I said pretty much what I wanted to say, but yeah, it's nominated for a reason. I still think this nominee is... I think it's well-earned. This is a really good film. I mean, again, another one where it has, like, I'd say dramedy is the right thing. Where, like, yeah, it has a lot of comedy and goofiness, but there's still a lot of heart. And when I went into it, I was thinking, oh, it's just going to be a fun, charming comedy. But towards the end, I was kind of like, oh, man, I didn't actually expect to almost cry. But, yeah, really loved this movie and well-earned this nominee.
Yeah, it's a very, very good movie. Performances, the writing... you know, I gotta say about this movie, like, if there was a tagline, which there probably is, I don't know what it is, but it'd be like, only the person who carries the bag knows how much it weighs. And yeah, like Eric said, I said it on the podcast, and I just love this movie. It was my second favorite of the year, and it's still my second favorite of the year.
Yeah. All right, next one, Killers of the Flower Moon. Now that I'm American Fiction was in my top 10, and I'll tell you, another one of these movies, now that I've seen them, made my top 10. So Killers of the Flower Moon is out of my top 10. I really like this movie. I get the criticisms towards it, but I still think it's a well-made movie. The effort clearly shows. I mean, like I said in the podcast, it's not perfect. I do have my criticisms with it, but I still liked it overall. I mean, I lost my train of thought, but definitely many people have said the best part about it by far is definitely the acting. Even though two out of the three actors, one of them didn't get nominated, but in the words of Jeremy Johns, the fact that one of them didn't get nominated doesn't mean anything because they still did a great job.
I agree with what you said. I didn't like it as much as you did. After sitting with it, I liked it slightly less than when I walked out of the theater. But yeah, all the technical stuff, like you said, it's a well-made movie, and
the effort clearly.
I get that from that aspect.
Yeah, and like, yeah, I don't think it's unjustified. I think it earned some credit. Mm-hmm. All right, next one is a bit of a controversial one. Maestro. Okay, so
Maestro.
So a lot of people, Letterboxd and Twitter specifically, have been clowning on this movie for the past couple weeks now since it came out. And the thing is that look, I don't hate this movie. I think it is a bit overhated, but I'd be lying if I said I didn't agree with some of the criticism. Like, I'm trying to phrase my words very carefully because I don't want to come off as someone who's just jumping on the hate train because everybody else is. I want to try to keep this as nuanced as possible. Mm-hmm. So overall, I like the movie, but I'd give it like a 7 out of 10. But if I'm being honest, I feel like it's leaning more to a 6 more than a 7.5. And it kind of gets worse the more I think about it. The main problem most people seem to have is that it sort of lacks that substance. In fact, one tweet that really sticks out to me is that when I went into this movie, I knew little to nothing about Leonard Bernstein. When I walked out, I still felt like I didn't know
nothing about Leonard Bernstein.
But the problem with this is that, like, yeah, like how they said, like, there's that lack of connection. But, like, in the first half, there's really that lack of connection. I'm like, well, I mean, like, it's well shot. It's well, I wouldn't say it's, like, sloppy. It's still well put together, but there's that lack of connection and nuance to it. I definitely think what really saved the movie is the second half. The drama got interesting, and I think you said this when we were watching it. Like, I feel horrible for saying this, but I feel like the movie started getting interesting when everything's going wrong. But, yeah, I like this movie. Out of all the ones that I've seen that I like, this one's on the thinnest ice. I don't disagree with the criticism. I definitely get the criticism. But, I mean, I wouldn't say I disliked it completely. And I do think people, I mean, again, I get the criticism, but I think we just need to chill out a bit. But, yeah. I wouldn't say it isn't complete. I mean, while this is, yeah, this is the definition of Oscar bait, I wouldn't say it's like, oh, late. I mean, I guess you could argue it is lazy in the scripting, but I mean, there's still a lot of effort put into it and the shots and the fact that Bradley Cooper took 6 years to learn how to conduct. I mean, and the scene at the cathedral, I was thinking like, whoa, this is such a cool scene. I remember you and I were like, we thought it was going to end, but then it kept, we're like, what, we're still going?
Yeah, here's the, okay, so I like this movie well enough. I personally wouldn't have nominated it for Best Picture.
Yeah.
Because I feel there's a big lack of cohesion. You got one half of a movie and another half of the movie, and you're missing that tissue that connects both of these halves into one complete whole. And it just didn't work for me all the way there. So for those reasons, I wouldn't nominate it. But there is some like really big, all the set pieces.
Like I'm still glad I saw it for the stuff I liked.
Yeah, for the set pieces and the music, all that was like really grand in scale.
Yeah.
And epic. And yeah. I enjoyed that portion of it. But still, it was like, okay, we got this half and this half. So how do we connect this movie?
I'll say this. Okay.
Release the Cooper cut.
Yeah. Okay, but, I'll say this. Would I have nominated this film?
Cooper.
Okay, would I have nominated this film? No, but I feel like there's still worse to nominate. There's still worse.
There's been other worse ones.
Yeah, there's been worse ones. Years. So, like, yes, like, would I have nominated, like, May, December, or Spider-Verse in place of that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But, in fact, I saw one tweet saying, does my show deserve to be nominated? And someone said, it's not even the best movie released in December on Netflix that begins with an
N. December, yeah.
Yeah, but, okay, yeah, I mean, what is it the best film to nominate? No, but it's definitely not the worst.
Yeah.
Okay, now talk about a film that is worth nominating. Oppenheimer, the second most popular movie of 2023. I'm gonna keep this brief since we pretty much said what we did in the podcast, but yeah, it's incredible. It's grand in scale. It's shocking. It's even if it's based off real events, but yeah, it's just a great film all around. Performances are stellar, set pieces are great, and I think one of the things about I'll save this when we get to the director category, but yeah, Oppenheimer, amazing.
I can say I really like this movie, especially on second rewatch. Just everything from the technical aspect.
Major number 6.
Yeah, number 6.
In fact, some I find intriguing is that I had Barbie at number 6 and you had Oppenheimer.
We had the Barbie.
I think we revealed on touched up on that on the podcast, but I don't remember.
Yeah, it's from the technical aspect to the performance to the score to everything. Really good movie. I think it's well deserved. So
yeah. another one that's well-deserved, Past Lives. I went into a deep existential rant about why this movie is perfection, and I won't repeat any of that here, but the point is that I'm devastated that I only got nominated for only one other category. I'll talk about that when we get to that, but anyway, Past Lives, definitely worth the nominee. I know it's not gonna win, but there's a part of me hoping that it does win.
So if you guys been listening to us, you know I love the big spectacle movies, right?
Yeah.
Avengers Endgame and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
But once in a while you get this type of movie that just hits every, checks off every category. And this is definitely it. I love this movie so much. It is my favorite of 2023.
We both had the same one.
And I can't wait to rewatch it again. And I just... We're going to go on a long rant if I get further into it.
Yeah. So and we already went on a long rant in the podcast, so just go over there.
Yeah.
Okay, we need to save that for Poor Things. So this is the other movie we saw. And obviously, there's been some people that have been saying, oh, it's amazing. It's a masterpiece. And there's some people saying, like, I don't get it. This is really... Look, if someone doesn't like this movie, I'm not going to dwell too hard. I definitely get why. This is definitely, I see why someone would come out saying, I didn't like that, that was weird. But the more I think about this movie, the more I like it.
Yeah,
just from
exactly.
The set pieces, the spectacle, the score, the performances, and the ideas it presents. Like, even though, like, there's so much, like, it has so much sexual nature to it. And I think, like, yeah, it really does go that far. I mean, I knew it was going to go far since I got a heads up from a lot of people on Twitter. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, even I was like, oh, my God. But even though there's like so much crude humor and sexual nature to it, it still has so much humanity to it, and has so much to say about like what it's like to feel human and like toxic possession. Mm-hmm. And there's so much more, but yeah, I don't want to dwell too much on this one because obviously this one got a lot of nominations, so I'll talk about them. Break down each category of the film.
Okay, so I had little to no knowledge about this movie. I knew maybe it was like a Frankenstein type of take.
And yeah, it is kind of like that.
Definitely that, but like Eric said, it's about humanity and it's about female agency, only her body, her sexuality. And yeah, there's a lot of sex, but I think it makes sense within the context of the story and all the nudity fits in, you know, back to female agency.
You know, if I had a nickel for every
body,
if I had a nickel for every time there's a movie that had sex but it played a crucial part to the story, I'd have
two. How many nickels we had?
Two.
So obviously I didn't get every single aspect of it from the female perspective, but I think I came away with a lot of it. And I really enjoyed this movie. It's funny. It's just so much to it. And you kind of stay thinking about it. Like Eric said, the more I think about it, the further I get from it, which is only like 8 hours.
Yeah, in fact, we saw Poor Things first, then we saw American Fiction. We had a 30-minute gap. You're like, oh yeah, I'm going to take a nap in between because I was starting to fall asleep towards the end. But I was like, no, I can make it through. But you were thinking about it so hard that you didn't even fall asleep.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it.
And you were so engaged into American Fiction that you didn't fall asleep for that. Anyway, I know we didn't see them on time to make our top 10, but I'll just let you know that
they'd
those
be
two,
in the top 10.
Yeah, if I had seen them before that podcast, they would have definitely been in the top 10.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah, they expand in theaters nationwide this weekend, so if you're listening to this, what are you doing? Go to your local theater.
Go
see them. Poor Fiction.
Poor Fiction.
Puts up a fair fight to Barbenheimer.
Oh man.
Okay, I'm a best actor. Okay.
Wait, did we go through all the nominees already?
Oh, wait, no. The final one, Zone of Interest. Again, we have not
seen it. We haven't seen it, so...
Let's just... Okay.
That's a wrap.
That's why I was like, okay, moving on. Okay, best actor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, first up is Bradley Cooper for Maestro. Again, he was good, but it's not like... It's like, I feel like you could nominate someone else, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Next one is... wait, do you have anything to say?
No, he was good, like, but, you know, I don't know, like, yeah. That's my in-depth analysis on that.
Okay. Coleman Domingo for Rustin. I mean, the only thing I've seen him in was in The Color Purple. And I haven't seen this movie, so I can't judge the performance for it.
I'll say this. Like,
he was good in The
Color Purple. His character in The Color Purple.
Yeah. So. Okay. I think I'll have something to say when we get to the...
He made it believable to that point. So,
yeah.
I don't doubt that he's a good performer.
Yeah, he's a good actor. But,
yeah,
like, we don't know what direction he was given for this one. Because Yahya Abdul-Mateen, like how you said, Yahya Abdul-Mateen, he's one of the greatest actors of our time. But when you had to, you
when
saw,
I saw Aquaman, like, damn, this guy sucks. I had to watch him somewhere else.
So
like,
yeah, exactly. Lack of direction. We got maybe he was given lack of direction here. So okay,
no, but he's a good performer. I trust that he's deserving.
All right, next one that we definitely know is deserving because we saw the performance, Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers.
Paul Giamatti doesn't get the opportunity to lead too much.
Yeah, he's always in a supporting.
Yeah, with this one and Sideways, I think he should have been given more opportunities to be the lead man. And wow, he's great in this movie. Like, he plays it so well and just carries everything that's inside of him and, you know, puts it forth, and it's just a great performance. I love it.
Yeah, exactly. I'm kind of, well, I guess spoilers for later. I'm kind of sad that Dominic Sarressa, the kid who played Angus, that because Paul Giamatti and Dominic Sarressa, they both had a tough role because both of their, I mentioned this in the podcast, but both of their characters are kind of dicks, so it's kind of like.
So how do you tell that line, right? Like, you got to make them.
You got to make them likable.
But still, you got to put the prickish.
Yeah, sickness in this. So yeah, and obviously the performance definitely had to assist with that, but yeah,
had to be layered.
Shout out to both of them for not just being stereotypical dicks, but I'm supposed to be. No, you actually add the layers to it.
Yep.
So yeah, good job. Next up is another one I think you've been waiting for like years now. Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer.
Cillian Murphy, here's another guy who doesn't typically
when we were like marathoning Nolan's movies, you're always like, whenever I watch a Christopher Nolan movie, the performance I look forward to the most is Cillian Murphy. So how's it feel now? Like, he's always been like your favorite actor in Nolan's movies, and now he's getting recognition.
I was very excited for him to get the nomination, to get the opportunity, because obviously he's very talented and he's been doing it for a long time, and like
now he's finally getting recognized.
Yeah, it's like a culmination of everything he's done before. And here we go.
Next one is Jeffrey Wright. I mean, we already mentioned that he Jeffrey was great Wright. Before. And again, the movie centers around him. So if you didn't find his character, I mean, I guess part of the writing does that too, but the performance has to elevate it. Like, you have to make it believable.
Yeah. We loved it.
Yeah.
We talked about
that. It was good. Any other, I guess the only one I guess I'd say is Leonardo DiCaprio. But I mean, to be fair, I mean, he's gotten plenty of nominees in the past. So I mean, I'm kind of fine. I mean, don't get me wrong. He was still really good in Colors of the Flower Moon. But it's kind of just like, oh yeah, it's just another really good performance. Nothing that like really stands out. Not to discredit it, but you get what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Best actress, one that got people heated.
This is going to be tough.
Annette Bening for Nayad.
I never
heard about this movie until like when I woke up in the morning and I saw that she was nominated. I'm like, what? I have never heard about this movie. How can this get a nominee now? Okay, next one. Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon. Again, really good, really good performance. And I think Greg Alba said it best. This isn't really a one where like, oh, there's this big monologue or that. It's just a super subtle.
The entirety of the film.
It's just a very subtle performance that it's like really well done.
Yeah.
Really. And I think I said in the podcast, one of the best scenes in the movie is where she has to, no words, it's just her facial expression. Same thing for Leonardo DiCaprio, but that's the best scene in the movie, in my opinion. I won't dwell too much into that, because since you could go to the podcast where I talk about the deeper nuance and layers of the way the scene is shot. Next one, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall. I have not seen
this. We have seen the movie, so we don't have any thoughts on her performance.
Yeah,
yet.
But she's getting a lot of praise, actually, for her performance. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that. Next one, Carey Mulligan for Maestro. She was definitely the best part of the movie.
Yeah, she was definitely the standout of the movie, and
she brought the realism to it. I keep mentioning YouTubers, but I went across a Letterboxd review from Shea Ferrilla's Productions. He said, it's funny how Bradley Cooper is trying to try so hard to get an Oscar nominee when Carey Mulligan ran circles around him.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah. Next
even
one.
Even though I've had my objections about her, but we won't get into it here again.
Yeah.
She's not Latina. All right, moving on.
Okay. Next one is Emma Stone for Poor Things. This one we actually have more to say about this one because we haven't said it out loud. But I mean, this is another hard performance because at the start of the movie she's an infant because she has an infant brain. Won't dwell too into that. But by the end of the movie she's like a full grown adult and has actually like found herself in. Like, again, this is another one where if her performance didn't work, then the film wouldn't have really... Well, I mean, there still would have been other stuff to it, but this is another one where it's like it centers around this character.
I agree. I don't... Not to be short-sighted or prisoner of the moment, but I can't think of any other movie where she's been as good as she was in Poor Things. And when she got nominated on Tuesday, I have not seen the movie. Clearly, I'm like, eh, whatever. I didn't have any opinion either way. But now I'm like, wow. I'm like, I'm really torn between her and Lily Gladstone. But obviously, if either of the stones get the statue in the end, I won't have any issue. I mean, we still have one movie to watch and one nominee to check out. But I don't know that it's anybody else is even close to these two ladies and their performances for the respective movies.
Exactly. So yeah, good stuff around the two snubs here. I mean, I won't complain too much because the two I'd have to replace. No. Okay. Hear me out. Is that because I haven't seen Annette Bening or Sandra Hüller, I can't say if the performance was better or not. But a lot of people on Twitter have been arguing, saying, "What about Greta Lee?
Yes.
What about Margot Robbie? That's like nominating Oppenheimer for Best Picture and not nominating Cillian Murphy. It's the title character." But So again, like, yeah, they were both great. I mean, between the two, I think Greta Lee's performance was much more nuanced. Again, it's another one where it's not really like a big speech or anything, but it's like Lily Gladstone's, where there's just so much emotion and it's very subtle.
Yeah, here's what I'll say. I'm not that much up in arms about Margot Robbie, although she was really good in Barbie. I don't think she was the best performer, and no, it wasn't Ryan Gosling either. We'll talk about that later. So I definitely, like, whatever, take it or leave it. She would have been there or not. It doesn't really matter to me. But Annette Bening, call me a simpleton and a moron, but I remove her from this list simply for the fact that no one's seen her, and I don't think many people are going to run out to go and watch it.
Yep.
And just for what Eric said, Greta Lee was incredible. There wasn't the big Oscar speech that they're going to play during the ceremony.
Like, we're about to get to supporting actors soon. Yeah. And even though I think this actor is justified, I will admit there is that one scene that does... I mean, it's a great scene, but it does feel a little preachy. Like, yeah, come on, give me that Oscar.
Yeah, but Greta Lee was incredible throughout the movie. She had to do so much.
And she had
a lot of it was subtle moments.
And a lot of it was in Korean. Half of it was in Korean.
She acted... Give her two freaking Oscars for that. Yeah. So anyways... Greta
it's like when Ki Hoi Kwan did his speech at the Oscars. It's like, let's give him another Oscar for that speech.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I mean, I am upset because, like, who did... Like, I had never heard of this movie until... of Naiad until the day of the nominations. But again, I mean, I'm not going to... Because I haven't seen the... I mean, yes, it is like, who saw this? But it's like, I didn't see the performance, so I can't, compare the two.
This is like when they nominated... I forget the actress, but it was like a dumb movie about a dumb... Whatever, anyway, let's move on.
Okay.
5-6 years ago.
Supporting actress!
All right, here we go.
Okay. First up is Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer. She was definitely a standout in the movie. She definitely, like, brought a lot of emotion. Like, oh, yeah.
She had her big Oscar moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't say that she was pushing, but, like, that performance during the hearing when she's up there being essentially interrogated was great. And she was great throughout the movie as well.
So. Yeah, she was really
very
good.
Well deserved. Emily Blunt.
Has she been nominated in the past?
No. She may have. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm kidding. I was gonna make a joke. No, never mind. Move on.
Okay, so the next one is from The Color Purple, Danielle Brooks, who was
was great too. I liked her a lot. I think she deserved the recognition, but I don't know that, you know, I think she should win.
I like The Color Purple. I do have my criticisms with it, but I mean, she was good, but it wasn't like, I was like, oh yeah, you know what? I won't be satisfied until she gets that nomination, but you know what? Yeah, it's
I'm
not.
I'm glad she got it.
It's whatever, you know. Next one, America Ferrera. When I woke up that morning, I was like, no way. No, I refreshed the page and I was like, no, this isn't real. Yes! She got
it's real!
It is real. And this one is, weirdly enough, gotten a lot of hate from people. It's like, a lot of people are excited, but then a lot of people are like, oh, but she had the cringiest scene in the movie. She just said the message to them.
Let me scroll your Twitter feed. Oh, okay, exactly. You're that guy.
Yeah.
Or that person.
Yeah, I mean, it is mostly men who say, I mean, there is, I mean, to be fair, I did see a tweet from a woman who said, it only takes surface level feminism for everyone to go around jangling keys. While I don't agree with that, I mean, it is nice to get a female perspective. But that's not saying that female can be incels. Female can be incels too. I'm not being sexist.
Yeah, no, like I alluded to earlier, this is the best performer in the entire movie. She's essentially the glue.
She's like the co-lead of the movie.
She's the glue that holds this movie together, which is not surprising because Latinos were known to hold up this country on her back. So, exactly, let me put this back on my movie is what she said. Yeah. And I'm glad that she got recognition for it because I was not sure that that would happen. But when it did, I'm really happy for her. I don't know that she's going to win because there's a lot of heavy hitters. This is a very difficult... A very
difficult year for actresses.
Yeah, very heavy hitter, heavy category. So I'd be very happy if she won. But Emily has a good shot. And as we move on, you'll see there's more than one contender in this category.
Yeah, so I mean, she was great in the movie. And yes, the quote-unquote cringiest part of the movie. I did think it was a great scene. When I first saw it, I was like, man, that it is a bit on the nose. But it's still, it's on the nose, but it's still like, yeah, that's true. And it's
And it was that kind of Oscar moment, but it was done
it was still a great scene. Yeah, and it's not like, well, yeah, well, it does spell out the message of the movie. I mean, it's also like, there's still so much, like, you could dissect from that.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Sure. My, the thingy, it's, glitched out. Hold on. Okay.
We're having technical difficulty.
But yeah, okay. I mean, even if some people are dissatisfied, I don't care.
I'm satisfied.
I'm satisfied. It's nice that she's finally getting... also nice that another actress finally getting recognition.
Yep.
Yeah. Next up is Jodie Foster from Nayad. Actually, I don't know if it's Nayad or NYAD.
It's something.
Something. Point is, I did not see Jodie Foster in this movie, and I'm never gonna watch this movie.
Here's what I'll say. I heard she's great in Night Country, which I have not begun to watch, but I will soon. So shout out to Agent Sterling.
All right. Next up is Divine Joy Randolph, who was Mary in The Holdovers.
Oh, see, this is what I'm talking about.
This is another one where it's just a subtle performance.
She was so great because, like, the performance she puts forth, because there's so much pain and so much that she's carrying, right? But then it's just, oh, man, it's hard to even put into words what she's done.
It's not like one where it's like, oh, give me that Oscar speech, but no, it's such a subtle performance.
Yes, there were so many good moments with her.
Sorry to interrupt, but there's just so many acting credits this year where I'm so glad there's still definitely that give me that Oscar speech, but there's so many where it's like, it's just so subtle.
Yeah, so between, I'm sorry, what?
Divine
Joy Randall. She was excellent. I would love it if she wins.
America, I think a lot Ferreira, of people are.
I love it if she wins. Emily Blunt, she wins. Any of these three ladies wins, I'd be like, okay, cool. I'm good with that.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's going to be hard for, you know.
Yeah.
The other two, I don't think have a real shot. But
okay, anyway, best supporting actor.
Here's another one. I think it's full of heavy hitters.
Ready to make some enemies?
Sure.
Okay, Ryan Gosling from Barbie. Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction. Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon. Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer. And Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. Oh, wait, why did they list them all out? We gotta go one at a time. Ryan Gosling. Okay, so you go.
When the movie came out, everybody's talking about, Ryan Gosling, he's so good. Ken, I am Ken. That dumb song everybody likes. Right? I saw it, I'm like, whatever. Like, I didn't see anything special about it. It's fine, whatever. Yeah, the character does have an arc, this and that, whatever. We can argue about that all day. And it's not really much of an argument because it's definitely there. But really, a nomination? I'm good. I would have to think about who... You know what? I'd snatch him out of there and put in
Willem Dafoe.
Boom, right there.
Oh, okay.
No problem.
Okay, so... Okay, so the thing is that...
Right, just let me say this one thing. I'm not saying that he's terrible, but he's not like, whoa, like everybody was saying that he was the greatest part about Barbie. Come on, guys. Let's just slow down.
Yeah, not Dance the Night, not the scene where Barbie gives up, not the speech, not the... Yeah, no, it's the... No, him, my Casa Dojo something.
Casa Dojo Mojo.
Yeah, that. Like, fine. It's funny, but it's also... Like, again, like, okay, so yeah, I think another reason why, I think it's not, like, serious, it's just a fun performance, and this is, some, like, even though this is just, like, oh, he's, just like, yeah, he's funny, but it's also, like, our performance, because Ken is, like, he's the antagonist of the movie, but he still has to have that charm and charisma to it, so.
Yeah, I get all that, I just didn't connect, I'm not vibing, like, you know, mostly everybody is.
Yeah, no, okay, good. Okay, next one, Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction.
Oh my goodness, he's in the movie like 15 minutes, but he like really, he goes toe-to-toe with Jeffrey Wright. Every time they're on the screen together, they're so good together. And Sterling K. Brown is one of the, I wouldn't say hidden treasures because he's a known actor.
Yeah.
But
I think he's even been nominated in the past.
He's definitely a treasure. I love this performance. As small as it was in the film, I think it makes an impact and it adds a lot to the story.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, he does have a... He's only in it for a few minutes. We know it's like quality over quantity.
100%.
Yeah. Next one is definitely one of my favorite performances of the year, and I'm glad that they got him. Like, even though... Robert De Niro for Killers, like, yes, he's been nominated many times in the past, but this is definitely one of his best performances.
He, yes.
In like, he's like, he has
bastard
that,
and they just the way, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'll like, yeah, like you said, he's just a manipulative asshole. Like, even though he has that times where, like, oh, okay, maybe, no, you're an asshole.
Yeah, exactly, because he just delivers with such casualness, like, okay, we're gonna kill this person, and do this, and do that. It's just like, whoa.
That's what makes it so, like, what's the word? Like, infuriating, mesmerizing. It's
exactly.
Like, obviously, the character is supposed to be someone you root against and hate, so, yeah, he did a good, he did a great job.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, yeah, don't go sending death threats to Robert De Niro, because he's playing...
he's an actor!
Yeah, he's an actor. In fact, he's not even playing a fictional character, he's playing...
Somebody who existed in real life, but that's not his fault. It's just a job.
It's not.
Guys.
He is
Come
the
on.
Yeah. It's just, be... Yeah, it's just a job. Don't. Also, yeah, don't go if you're like my dad and you're like Ryan Gosling. Really, don't go sending death threats.
I'm not gonna send. I like Ryan Gosling. He's gonna be my Nova in the MCU or
I
Ghost,
say
Rider,
Ghost
Rider, whatever. He's
Wait,
great.
No. I just realized that if he does become Ghost Rider, then that means both Ghost Riders have hooked up with Ava Mendez at one point.
That's right.
Yeah.
I like Ryan Gosling. Don't get me wrong. I just wasn't feeling.
Yeah, and like obviously he was given this direction.
Right. No, I get everything he was supposed to be, and I just thought it was fine.
Yeah, all right. Next one that you were like, whoa, Robert Downey Jr. He's free from those Marvel shackles. He's in real movies again.
Back doing cinema.
Yeah.
His first movie out.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. When I first saw the movie, I was like, he's good, but I don't really know about an Oscar. Yes, he does have that speech about how Oppenheimer would do the same thing again to be the most important
his
person.
His Oscar moment.
Like, yeah. His Oscar moment. Like, yes, it is very on the nose. Like, yes, give me that Oscar. But it's a great scene. When I saw the movie a second time, I really like that this is another, like, aside from that, like, give me Oscar moment, it was definitely another, like, very subtle performance, and like just the layer and nuance to his character and his acting, and he's definitely a standout of this movie.
He's great.
Most of his scenes are in the black and white sequences. What's actually happening?
He is a very good actor, and regardless what anybody wants to say about comic book movies not being art or whatever, but we've seen this.
Even
bunch.
He said in the Actors on Actors saying comic book movies can be high art when done correctly.
Yes, and to elaborate on the point, we've seen him do great performances as Tony Stark, like for whatever.
I even saw one tweet saying is that the writing for Tony Stark was great, but if he didn't play him, then the character would not have the same impact.
I can't see it work with anybody else.
I remember even when Endgame came out. Saying like, even though casting Robert Downey Jr. at the time was a risk, I cannot imagine a world
anyone where... else doing it.
Yeah, he was meant to play the character.
Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's great in this movie. He did have that very Oscar moment.
But the rest of the performance was still good.
It was all great. And even though, you know, that's that moment like we've been kind of joking about, it was still great. So.
Yeah. Okay. Next one, another one I just saw a couple hours ago when I first saw this, like Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. This was another standout performance. This is another one where it's like he's got to have that charm and mannerism to it. But he's also a toxic guy. He's manipulative and he's like, but he still has to have that likability to him. Like, and like, this is, again, just, he's free from those Marvel. That, no, he's still not free.
He's not free from those Marvel.
He's going
Marvel
back
movies.
And forth. He's, whatchamacallit. He's like, visiting day.
He's getting visitations during the weekends.
Yeah, visitations during, but yeah, such a great performance. And obviously, this kind of has to do more with the writing than the actual character, but it ties back to the character. Yeah. Is that, like, yeah, I could believe, like, again, I kind of hinted to this earlier, but one of my biggest criticisms with Color Purple, Coleman Domingo's character, like, don't get me wrong, the performance was great, and you definitely hated this guy, but there's kind of like this, like, it kind of doesn't really feel like there's, like, I mean, yeah, I believe that he's an asshole, but it doesn't really feel like, doesn't really have that, like, oh yeah, this is how someone react in real life. It kind of felt a bit cartoony, a bit where
the
it's like
switch was, and then at the end, I don't know. That's
just, yeah, it's just, yeah. But with this one, it's like, I believe, like, he does have, it's real, it's more realistic, which is ironic because this is set in an alternate 1800s.
And here's the thing about Mark Ruffalo in this movie, like you said, he has to be, have that charm and that charisma, right?
But he's still a toxic man.
At the same time, even through all that, you kind of see the undertones that, you know, this guy's a dick. Let's just be frank, right? But he plays it so well, both aspects of it, the controlling asshole and the charming, charismatic type of,
and the manipulative person, like how at the end he's like, oh, she made me crazy.
Yeah, the whole manipulative, like, and, you know, even
the way he plays it up at the end
when he's having his little moment, ah, if you've seen the movie, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, even those comedic aspects of it was great. So
yeah, all around amazing performance.
This is a definite, like, Ryan Gosling wins, I'm gonna fucking lose,
especially
it.
When Robert De Niro,
yeah, any of these other guys.
This is like when Jamie Lee Curtis won last year, and it's like Stephanie Hsu, Angela Bassett, and Carrie Condon were all right there. I mean, Hung Chow, but I mean, I still haven't seen The Whale, and I never will see it. I'm sorry, not sorry. Yeah. But solid supporting actor all around. I mean, it is a very tough race for this. Like, this year is a very tough, especially with the acting. Okay, I'm a best director. Justin Tourette for Anatomy of a Fall. Again, have not seen the movie, so I can't really say. Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon. Again, like, even though I'm going to kind of contradict what I said earlier, like, yes, it's a well-crafted, well-put-together film, but there's nothing, like, it doesn't really have that
stand out,
like the sauce or anything that really makes it, like, stand out. That's not to say that the film is well edited and well acting. It is, but it's just like with the directing, there's nothing that really make me go like, whoa, this is a standout in the within, like, it's got the sauce,
right?
Exactly. Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer.
This one does have the sauce.
Yeah, I'd say, like, not to discredit his movies. Obviously, I'm a big fan of Nolan, but I feel like this is the one he directed the most, like with the shots and with the editing and
everything, just the way he put the movie together.
Yeah. Even if Oppenheimer, I think it falls just short of, like, people have been saying, like, oh, it's his magnum opus. And don't get me wrong, this is definitely high up on the, I mean, he hasn't made many films, but I mean, this is definitely on the higher up. I still got to rethink.
I mean, it's no Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, it's not Dark Knight. Anyway. Gotham will be fine if it got cops like you, Gordon. If you comment down below, I mean, if you knew what I meant when I said, oh, Nolan doesn't have the sauce, or Gotham's got cop, leave a comment down if you get what video I was referring to. It came out recently.
Where are we going? Yeah, it's a good movie, good direction. I think it's great.
Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things.
Oh my god, talking about the sauce.
Yeah,
like, the way this movie's constructed, the different shots and the different angles, and just using color and not color.
Yeah, he directed the heck out of this movie. Like, it's definitely, like, yeah, like, it had, like you said, it has the sauce.
For sure.
Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. Again, have not seen this. Two big snubs for me. Again, I'm not going to complain too hard because not seen Anatomy of a Fall.
I'm kidding.
Her Zone of Interest. First off is Celine Song, especially for your first, this is her first feature, and she shows that she has the sauce and can direct her actors, direct the shots, direct the score, and
everything that goes into making a movie, she nails perfectly.
Especially with, this is her first directing.
Yes.
her directorial debut. Another one is next one is Greta Gerwig. I mean, both Gretas got snubbed this year.
Wow. Again, just this isn't Greta if you're a director this year.
Yeah,
I guess.
This is another one where it's like, even though it's a Barbie movie, like the way it's lit, the way like the shots are put together, the production design, even the dance choreography in this is like, so she had to direct that as well.
So I'm more upset. You know, people are upset about Margot Robbie. I'm like, yeah, whatever.
More upset.
I think more upset about Greta Gerwig
because she had the sauce.
She had the sauce to put like something as it's a Barbie movie. What are you going to do with that? Yeah. To actually make it work.
I haven't seen Little Women. I have seen Lady Bird, and I do love Lady Bird, but I will admit it doesn't quite have the sauce that Barbie does.
No, it does not. It's
it's more about the acting and the writing, not really the directing.
I don't want to say basic because that means like I'm downplaying it, but you get what I'm saying.
When we say something like that, doesn't mean it's not well put together. It is. It's just saying that doesn't really like have like that, something that like that like pops out about it.
Yeah.
Like, but definitely, Barbie is Greta Gerwig's sauciest film.
Yeah.
Okay. Original screenplay. Okay. Anatomy of a Fall. Again, not gonna dwell too much on that. We haven't seen it. Holdovers. Yes.
Love the Holdovers.
Yes. We already talked about like Maestro. Oh, like again, like
okay.
I said.
Released the Cooper cut.
Yeah. Like I said, the writing's the weak... Like, it's well put together. It's just... The writing's the weakest part of the movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, May, December... I'm surprised that May... This is the only one... Oh, I forgot to mention earlier. No Charles Melton or...
was going to say that.
Yeah, no Charles...
Snatch Ryan Gosling out of there and put in Charles Melton.
I mean, because, like, Willem Dafoe... He was good, but he also didn't have much presence, and I feel like he's done... I can't believe that Norman Osborn, Gwen Stacy, and Bruce Banner were in the same.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, they're free from those shit. Well, I mean, he's been... like, him in No Way Home, that was his day off. No, yeah, his community service day. May-December, we already said what we had to say. Okay, wait, no, May-December. Okay, we already said what we said about May-December. I mean, it's a shame that this is the only one. I would have, if I had to replace a movie, since Maestro is the only one I've seen, like, I would have replaced May-December. May-December blows Maestro out of the water.
Yeah,
I'm sure we can all
agree. I don't know that it's that close. Anyway.
Yeah, it's not. But, especially with the acting as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Natalie Portman didn't get a nomination either.
No.
Neither did Jill.
There's one sequence in the movie. If you've seen, Twitter's gone on about this scene for ages, and it's like, it made me go like, I forgot she was even acting. Holy shit. And she didn't even get recognized.
Zero.
They thought that a actress from a movie I don't know anyone who's seen it. Okay, let's move. Right. Next one, Past Lives. Again, I'm very grateful that Past Lives got into best. But, like, and yes, the screenplay is definitely one of the aspects. But no acting nominations, no cinematography, no score.
Score is great.
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say. I want Past Lives to win. Same thing for me.
Again, I want it to win Best Picture, but I know it's not gonna, especially since it only has one nomination.
So, well, it's nominated here.
I hope
it wins here.
Yeah, I feel like Oppenheimer and Poor Things have the biggest chance because those ones have the most nominations.
Yeah, it's gonna be a battle of the thing.
Battle of the...
Gwen Stacy and Scarecrow.
Yeah, Scarecrow. Okay, adapted screenplay. American Fiction. I mean, we already ranted on about why we enjoy this movie. Love it. It's really... Again, there's obviously the acting, but I mean, the script really plays. Mm-hmm. Again, Barbie. Again, like we said, it has the sauce, but I mean, obviously, you can't have the sauce without a good script. And definitely deserved here. They tried to do it in original screenplay, and it's like, yeah, I could definitely see why you'd try, because it's not, there's no pre-existing script, but we really needed Holdovers and Past Lives to get into there, and if there's another way, then sorry, I'm sorry, Barbie. But, okay, Oppenheimer, we've already said all
American
we...
American Prometheus.
Yeah.
It's adapted from that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Poor Things, again, we've already said what we had to say about that. Mm-hmm. Definitely well, okay, yeah. And Zone of Interest. Okay, so Zone of Interest is the only one, but from the ones I've seen, yes, all well deserved for the adapted screen.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Okay, animated feature, The Boy and the Heron, Elemental. Wait, why am I skipping through these? Okay, so
just
yeah.
go to them and then we'll talk about
okay,
it.
Okay, yeah. Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. Yeah, I'm upset. No, I'm not. I'm furious that furioso that Across the Spider-Verse didn't. This is the only thing, like, really, for a film as groundbreaking as this, you thought, yeah, let's just nominate it in one category. Not sound design, not visual effects, not best score, not cinematography, not picture, just animated feature.
Effects.
I said effects.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sound design too. Sound design.
They just went for the most basic, like,
yeah, the most basic shit.
Less ever. Did you guys even watch this movie? Because I don't think you watched this movie.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest. I've seen every movie in this category except for Sleeping Robots.
Robot Dreams. Again, this is a really good list. This is a good list. All really good movies. I think that deserved the nomination. A lot of people are saying they should have replaced Elemental with TMNT. And look, I like TMNT, but it wasn't like, oh, yes, this is it. This is the ground. No, it was just like, yeah,
great,
it's good.
Great movie. Loved it. But no. I agree with you there. Elemental was great for the longest time. It wasn't my top 10,
but it did slip out.
Honorable mention for sure.
Yeah, Nimona. I forgot about it, but yeah,
That was a good movie too. I really liked that.
Boy and the Heron again was like, it didn't quite make my list, but it was still a really good movie. It didn't quite hit me as hard as some other of Hayao Miyazaki's movies. Like, it's not a Mononoke or a Kiki or a Spirited Away, but it's still a good movie. It's still a good movie, and I can't wait to watch it again, because this is one of those where it's like you gotta. You got to see it twice, like, fully get.
Yeah.
And also, it's something that in Japan, it was called How Do You Live? And a lot of people have been saying they should have called it How Do You Live, because, yeah, like, the film isn't even really, I mean, it is about the boy, but it's not really about
the Heron.
It's more like, again, How Do You Live? It's more like, it makes more sense for the movie, especially with the themes it deals with.
Yeah.
And if you've seen the movie, you obviously know what I'm talking about, but...
Yeah. This movie was not for something else. We'll talk about it, but... Okay. Yeah, if it's not clear, guys, Across.
Yeah, Across the Spider-Verse. That's not to discredit the other movies here. There's still really good movies here, but, like, yeah.
Across is better.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said. Okay, documentary feature, Bobby Wine, The Eternal Memory, Four Daughters, To Kill a Tiger, 20 Days, and Myra Poole.
I haven't seen any of these, but...
I might see To Kill a Tiger, because that's an intriguing title.
Just congrats to everybody that's nominated here.
You got recognized.
Awesome, guys.
International feature, La Capitano, Perfect Days. I haven't seen Perfect Days, but I've heard a lot of people been talking about it, so we might check it out. Society mm-hmm. of the Snow, isn't that on Netflix?
That's on Netflix.
Okay, so I think we might check out Perfect Days and Society of the Snow before the ceremony. The Teacher's Lounge and the Zone of Interest. Wow, Zone of Interest, that's the only Best Picture nominee's feature.
Are we getting,
I wonder,
do you think
Society of the Snow is gonna win? Do you think it's gonna win the international feature?
I don't know
why this category is still a thing, because obviously if they put an international Best Picture feature, they're gonna nominate that. Oh, okay. The recording. We've been talking for 52 minutes.
All right, guys. So we're just gonna go real quick to the following, because you know we try to keep it to under an hour. Just quick thoughts.
Rapid fire. Editing and editing in full. Have not seen it. Holdovers. Well put together. Killers of the Flower Moon. Definitely the best part. Oppenheimer. Yes, definitely the editing. Especially with the subtle foreshadowing, showing the glimpses of how the bomb was constructed and the effects it left.
Yeah, I think Oppenheimer wins here.
Yeah,
the holdovers, but the way it's edited.
Poor Things. Again, yeah, well put together.
Oh my god, maybe even Poor. Either one of those wins, I'm good.
Okay, cinematography. El Conde, Colors of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. I haven't seen El Conde. I feel like Colors of the Flower Moon is out, but even though I've had my criticisms with Maestro, the cinematography was one of its best aspects.
Yeah.
Same thing for Oppenheimer, Poor Things. Well, I mean, Oppenheimer obviously had more to it. Same thing with Poor Things, but I mean, if one of those three wins, I won't be upset.
My choice is Poor Things. Why? He's got the sauce.
Yeah.
Or she? Is it a he or she?
Yeah, it's a he. It's a he.
He's got the sauce.
Robbie Ryan, the director of photography.
Director of photography.
Okay, original score, American Fiction, Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. All right, we got time. We could ran around here.
Okay.
How did you think that the score for Dial of Destiny, it was a greatest hits medley? You thought that The score for Past Lives, the score of Across the Spider-Verse, fuck those idiot composers. Yeah, John Williams, Look, John Williams, he's the GOAT, but he's cooked, man. He's just, especially with the Rise of, it's just the greatest hit melody.
Here's what I say, this is like a legacy nomination. It's probably gonna win because that's John Williams. Don't get us wrong, we love him. He's the GOAT, he's a legend. He's built his name up to this point, but come on.
Yeah, come on.
Can anybody name any other song besides the main theme?
No.
They didn't think so. And they snub,
it's a greatest hits melody.
Yeah, exactly. They snub Boy and the Heron.
Yeah.
Past Lives. What else?
Across the Spider-Verse.
Across the motherfucker. They really, I'd be embarrassed.
Okay, Killers of the, okay, yeah. Oh, wait.
Killers of the Flower Moon?
No, okay, okay. Okay, this one definitely isn't as egregious. It's a good score,
I
but
remember,
it's kind
of,
okay. Can I finish?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so it's a good score, but it's like a Fableman situation. And don't get me wrong, I love the Fablemans. It was my favorite movie from last year. But there's only 20 minutes of music in that. Same thing here. There's only 20 minutes of music here. And it's a 3.5-hour movie.
Yeah, what do we do for the rest of the movie? That's not even...
American Fiction, surprisingly, I really dug the score.
Yeah, the score was pretty good, too. Poor Things. Like, whoa, that grabs you from the
like,
first
it's so eerie, but still has that wonderness. Like, it still has that... Met like that wonder and
distorted type of
it's like nature. I've been listening to this like while we were waiting between
movies.
I was listening to that score and like, man, this score has the sauce.
It's very well deserved.
Same thing with Oppenheimer.
Yeah, Oppenheimer is great.
If you were to choose between two, okay, which one would you choose between Oppenheimer?
Oh,
Poor Thing?
Oh my god, can we split it? I'll say Poor Things, call it Prisoner of the Moment or whatever, but, I mean, Ludwig Göransson already has an Oscar.
Okay,
so.
Production design, Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, Poor Things. I'm between Barbie and Poor Things. I'm going to go Poor Things. Like, don't get me wrong, Barbie had a lot of effort put into it, but, I mean, it's kind of like, it's just a Barbie doll come to life. Not that that isn't impressive, but it's like Poor Things, it's an alternative 1800s.
Here's what I say, both of these movies created worlds that don't exist, so I give these movies a ton of credit. My choice would be Poor Things, but if Barbie wins, I'm not gonna lose my mind.
Like, I haven't seen Napoleon, but like Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer.
Oh,
obviously,
Napoleon,
not.
I win, actually.
Napoleon's
very deserving because of the scale of the different things. But
even if the script is shit,
the script is whatever cut bullshit we got. Missing half a
is this
movie.
Another one I haven't seen this movie, but is this another one of those like it's well put together, it's just the script is shit
and we're missing.
Wait, is it like one of that?
Yeah, I'd say, I don't know. Not
has Ridley fan. Scott lost the sauce?
I hope not, because I'm looking forward to Gladiator 2.
Yeah, and also he said Alien Romulus is good, so hopefully he lived.
Oh, God.
Can't wait to rewatch those movies as well.
Yeah, all right, let's finish up here.
Whatchamacall. Again, like, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, not that they, obviously they put a lot of effort into them, but it's also, like, nothing you wouldn't expect.
Right.
Okay. Costume design. Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. I might be biased, but I kind of want Killers of the Flower Moon to win to get that native representation.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
I wouldn't hate it if Poor Things won this one, because you see all her different clothes and a lot of care
I mean, obviously, a lot of care went into all of these movies. They definitely all, like, if any of them, I mean, I guess, I don't know if I'd be a fan if Napoleon won, but it's like, not that they didn't put the effort, but I kind of, like, it's just that, like, you gotta be a bit biased at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Napoleon.
Okay.
Get
visual
effect. No, I'm kidding. That's fine.
Okay.
All right, next.
Okay. Oh, we are going to have to. We're almost reaching the 60-minute mark. So we're going to do a quick break or interlude.
No, I think we can wrap it up. It'll go over. I just keep going. I was just trying to keep under an hour for...
No, it says the maximum recording time for segments is 60 minutes.
Wow. All right. So with that said, we'll be back with a very short segment.
After this cool tune interlude. All right, we'll be right back. Okay, guys, we're back from a quick interlude. So, we're here to talk about the rest of the categories.
Just real quick before we get into that, was funny. You guys got to hear a little background. Oh, keep it running. No, we're out of time. Or anyway.
Yeah, no, it's cool behind the scenes.
BTS.
But that just shows that
bonus.
That just shows that we're very passionate about movies and we got a lot to say about each category.
Yeah, so we got about 8 categories or so.
I mean, these are more of the ones where it's like, eh, who cares?
Okay.
But, I mean, obviously we don't want to dismiss the people because obviously, I mean, I remember seeing one tweet saying it's hard to make a movie and it's still hard to even make a bad movie.
So much that goes into it.
But yeah. A lot of people act like, oh, yeah, it just jumped out of a conveyor belt effect. Like, even conveyor belt content, there's still a lot of work that has to go into it. I just came up, we were talking about while we were waiting for the segment to render, this is a bit off topic, we were talking about Mark Ruffalo's performance in Poor Things, and I just want to say that Barbie and Poor Things are not anti-men, they are anti-toxic men.
Asshole.
They're
assholes. How do you say?
He's an asshole. Exactly. Marty McFly.
Yeah, so if you're not an asshole, don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's fine. It's like, yeah, it's not anti-men. It's anti-toxic men. Both movies even show the difference between a good man and a toxic man.
Yep.
So, yeah, they're not anti-men. Shut up, Ben Shapiro.
Fucking asshole. Okay. Talking about he's an asshole, that's an asshole.
Yeah, he's an asshole. Okay, we're getting sidetracked. All right. Okay, visual effects. The creator, the creator, it's like, okay, I have my criticisms with the movie, but what it could have been, because it had so much potential, but it was decent. Yeah. But the visual effects, considering it was done like on a $80 million budget and it looks this impressive, definitely well deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Godzilla Minus One, this is another one I feel like it's gonna be like I like it better on rewatch because I don't have high expectations for it.
Mm-hmm.
But Godzilla Minus One, I really 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 wanted to love this movie, but I just there's that lack of connection. I feel maybe I'll like it better on rewatch, but they still haven't said when is it coming out. Unfortunately, you fell asleep when we watched it, so can't really.
Blame the movie. It's just some other.
I think he even said in the thing, "Dude, the situation's out of my control. Yeah. I couldn't." Yeah. Okay, but yeah, still the effects were impressive, well deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, again, like well mixed between visual and practical effects, and very well done to the VFX supervisors. Here's the thing, is like, even though a lot of people have been clowning on Marvel's effects recently because they're like super rushed, I mean, even in the past, it's like, even in the first Avengers movie, it doesn't have it doesn't really have all that convincing effects either, but you don't really care because what you're seeing is just so cool. I think the same thing with Guardians of the Galaxy 2. It doesn't always have the most convincing effects, but what you're seeing is so cool that you don't really care. I hate to mention it, but in the words of Doug Walker, if it looked fake, I'm fine with that. But if it looked ugly and fake, then I can't deal with it. Like, I have a lot of problems with Doug Walker, but that's a good quote. That's a good quote.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning.
Winner!
The stunts in this movie were really impressive, but since they were all practical, I mean, that kind of goes against the visual.
Effects?
I mean, sort of.
All right. Agreed.
I guess visual effects could correlate to just anything.
Practical.
Just what you're seeing on screen. So.
Yeah, why don't we have a stunts category or whatever?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, Napoleon, again, have not seen this. Is this
worthy? Yeah, I think it's well-deserved, like the big action.
I was actually sick. I got the allergies when we saw this, so I couldn't see it. Yeah. So
I think it's deserving there. I mean, not a great movie, but...
Hopefully when the Ridley Scott cut comes out.
In this context.
The Scott cut. But you gotta say Ridley Scott because Scott is a stereotypical last name.
Yeah, right. Sir Ridley Scott. Yeah,
Sir Ridley Scott, British.
We'll pass it.
Yeah, okay. Even though I love Guardians of the Galaxy, I love Mission Impossible and the effects and gods, I gotta go with the creator, especially, like, this is the, out of all the movies I've seen here, it's the one I like the least, and yet I feel like it has...
The effects are the best.
Are the best part
the budget,
of... Given the budget, given, like, everything, like, it's super impressive.
Yeah.
Gareth Edwards really knows how to budget, especially with Rogue One, because, like, Force Awakens, Last Jedi, and, Rise of Skywalker, they all have budgets above $300 million, and he was only able to do it under $200 million, especially with the reshoots. Like, they had to reshoot most of the movie, and that's very cost-effective. So, he's very good at money laundering, is what I'm saying. Or he's good at budgeting, or whatever you want to say. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sound design, the creator, Maestro, Mission Impossible, Oppenheimer, The Zone of Interest. I'm between Maestro or Oppenheimer because, like we said, the technical aspects from Maestro was definitely one of its best aspects about it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Either one wins, I'm
good. I think because since Oppenheimer, let's be honest, Oppenheimer's going to win a lot of awards. Regardless of what you think, I think I would give it to Maestro.
I think it's deserving in this category.
Yeah, other ones is like, the creator definitely had some good sound effects, but nothing that made me go, whoa, this is very groundbreaking for the sci-fi. But like, okay. Same thing with Mission Impossible. It isn't anything, like, it's still good sound design. And not to discredit the sound designers, I'm very sorry if I apologize. It's just not anything you wouldn't expect. Mm-hmm. And again, haven't seen Zone of Interest, so I can't really comment on that.
I'm very curious. Okay, that got nominated, all right? I'm going to pay extra attention to the sound design.
Makeup and hairstyling. Golda. Maestro. Oppenheimer. Poor Things. Society of the Snow. I'm going to go with Poor Things.
Poor Things, yeah, I agree. One.
A lot of people have been upset about this, but Guardians of the Galaxy had some of the most makeup of any movie in the past decade. I actually don't know if it's the one with the most makeup, but
it's close.
Yeah, it's close. It definitely broke some records in that department, and they thought Oppenheimer is that, like, I mean, not to discredit Oppenheimer, but it's like, I mean, come on, it's already like getting a lot of other. It's like, was it like, yeah, the detail on his face is not something he couldn't do. He needed to wear the makeup to express how much sorrow he feels. Like, it's the acting. Yeah. It's the acting. But I'm going to give it to Poor Things because of how unique the characters look and how, like, mm-hmm. Just unique the film is overall. Like, I definitely wouldn't, like, this isn't one, like, even though I absolutely fell in love with this movie, it's not one where I'm not going to go to my friends and be like, yes, you got to see it, because, like, it's very specific with its demographic.
That, I don't know that everybody will like and or I mean, Poor Things. It, but.
Yeah. And I thought you were talking about Cassian Andor for a second.
No, Andor
connect with the movie. There's definitely gonna be people saying, "Oh, that was weird and uncomfortable."
It is weird,
and it is weird and it is uncomfortable. But it ties back to the point of the movie.
Yeah,
everything goes hand in hand.
Necessary.
Yeah. In fact, my biggest problem with the movie, I feel like there's like a 10-minute sequence. Like, not that it's like, I still want to cut it out. It's still necessary, but it just feels a bit slow. And it is trying to prove a point. Like, even with the Mark Ruffalo character, character as well. Like, if you've seen the movie, I think you might know what I'm talking about. Yeah. But to me, it kind of just felt like I still want to cut it. But it was kind of like, yes, I know, we get it. But like, okay. Enough rambling. On to the next category. Original song, The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot. I'm Just Can. Never Went Away from American Symphony. I've never heard about. Here's the thing is that, like, I don't know if we should nominate end credit songs because, like, Everything Everywhere All at Once, phenomenal film, but, like, do you think the end credit song, did you think, like, I remember, like, even when we watched The Ceremony when they performed, you're like, I love that movie so much, but that song was ass.
Yeah, not a great song.
Is it better than I'm Just Ken, though?
I don't know.
Okay. Wahazi from the Killers of the Flower Moon, which was the song that played. I mean, it played right before the end credits after Martin Scorsese says that Leonardo DiCaprio has become a punchline now. Spoilers, but I mean, it is based off real. You may not have known that Martin Scorsese is at the end of the movie, but okay. And then what was I made for? I know what you're saying. Like,
yeah, I would definitely snatch I'm Ken because I don't like that song. Toss it out, punt it into the moon.
Okay,
sorry, Ryan.
That's a bit harsh. That's
okay,
littering.
That's littering. That's littering. Yes, it is. I would remove that song and slide in Dua Lipa. Come on, what are
Dance
we doing?
Dance the night away.
What are we doing?
They made a song. They designed the song around one particular scene.
No, man. What are we doing?
Okay. I mean, I guess both songs were designed.
I do agree with the Billie Eilish song. Oh, I like it where I was using him. I don't. The song's fine, but I like the moment it was used.
I mean, Okay. Right. I'm not going to nag on too much. Right. We've already done a lot of nagging in this podcast. The Fire Inside. I'm guessing that The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot. Again, I really like this movie. I forgot about it until you mentioned it. But if I did that, I'd probably add that as an honorable mention. Yeah. But again, I think that's another one where on the ceremony we're like, good movie, but that song was ass.
Yeah.
I mean, if it is in the credits. So.
I don't even remember it. I'm going to be honest.
Like, well, I mean, it was in the credits.
Oh,
so.
Okay.
Personally, I don't think it's gonna, but I hope that the Killers of the Flower Moon song, again, might be, call me biased, but like even if it's like the one list people remember, it's like very indicative of, it isn't indicative, it is the culture itself.
Yeah.
Because,
I agree, I hope it wins, but I think it's gonna be Ken.
Yeah, I think it's gonna be
Ken. I am Ken.
That's not how it went.
No, that's not how it goes?
No. Right. Okay, live action short. The After, Invincible, Night of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue, and The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugarman. Sorry we didn't see
I was going to say Invincible, but then I realized it's not that Invincible.
Yeah, not so. That
Invincible. I haven't seen any of these.
March 14th!
Right around the corner? Damn, it's almost a month.
Why did they, like, okay, sorry anyway. To get sidetracked, but, like, why did they split it? Okay, I'm getting sidetracked. Mm-hmm. I just repeated myself by saying I was getting sidetracked. See how my brain works.
Are you getting sidetracked?
Okay. Yes, okay. Right. Night of Fortune, Red, White, and Blue. Oh, wait, no, I already read these.
We haven't seen any of these.
Let's appreciate the craftsmanship that goes into this. We haven't seen any of these. We're super sorry for not seeing this, but
congrats to all the nominees, and good luck.
Yeah, good luck, good luck.
March 10th.
Yeah.
Or 11th, whatever it is.
Okay. Documentary short. The ABCs of Book Banning, The Barber of Little Rock, Island in Between, The Last Repair Shop, Nai Nai and Wai Po. Again, didn't see these, but congratulations to all the nominees. Wish you luck.
Mm-hmm.
May the best short win. Next one, and final one, animated short. Letter to a Pig and 95 Senses, Our Uniform, Petra Duremi, War is Over, and yeah, that's it. A lot of people.
Carl's First Date, huh?
No, and Snug. No Noah Once Upon a Studio. Either.
All right, nah, come on.
Well, I mean, a lot of people.
I wouldn't nominate that one either.
I mean, it's a cute little. I mean,
it's fine, but whatever.
But I wouldn't nominate it either. But okay. it's not like you think they'd be surprised since the Academy is biased towards Disney.
Yeah, like, hey, this sounds good.
I guess a lot of people are like, the reason why Disney's movies bombed is because they underestimated the intelligence of the audience, and
yeah.
I guess the Academy underestimated the intelligence too.
Yep.
And that's
that's pretty much wraps it up.
Not pretty much. It does wrap it up.
That wraps it up, guys. Thank you for hanging out.
I meant the nominees. This was a lot of nominees I'm very happy with. Some that I'm like, really? Why did you do that? But again, like, even if the Academy is the, like, they're the most prestigious movie award show, I mean, at the end of the day, it is still just an opinion. If you think that Greta Lee was worth Greta Lee, Celine Song, or Greta Gerwig. Both the Gretas and the Celine were worthy of being a winner, then yeah, they are a winner in your mind. You don't need the Academy's vindication. If you thought Spider-Verse was worthy of a nominee, then yours in your head.
No,
you don't need the Academy to give you that vindication.
I agree with what you're saying. They're very up there in my book, and I appreciate these movies and these people and these ladies and everything. The art they put forth this past year was very entertaining and had like further reach than just the superficial. So I'm really glad. I honestly don't have as many snubs as I thought. I just can some and a couple other things, but I thought it was good for the most part. But
yeah. And obviously,
they're not always gonna get it right. Like,
and even
I want
if
it.
You even if you don't like a film, there's still like so much that goes into making a movie.
Yeah, no,
you don't go
like
making
that.
Movies thinking this is gonna be fucking shit.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, when you make a movie, you put your like even the movies we don't like here, everyone still put their heart and soul. And maybe it didn't work out at the end, but we shouldn't discredit the effort. Like saying it didn't work, but you still tried.
Yes, exactly. I agree.
That's about it.
All right, guys, thank you for hanging out. This is definitely our longest podcast. We went over an hour, but there's a lot of categories, and we had a lot to say, clearly.
Yeah, we had more than I thought I...
Yeah, for sure, me too. I thought we could get it all in an hour. But thank you guys for hanging out. Let us know what you guys think. You could always reach us. We're on Twitter and stuff like that. And for now, that is all.